Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. We stand in awe of you. Because there is no one else like you. You've loved us with an everlasting love. And so as we go into your word this morning, we recognize it's the living word. Without you, we can do nothing. And so I ask for fresh mercy and unction under the covering of my fathers. Come and help me, Lord. Anoint me afresh so that this word will flow out of me like a river of life. Make me an oracle of God so your word will come forth in purity, in clarity, and in power, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit, so that the vision we will see clearer and we will run, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be doers of the things that we've learned and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, Lord, under covering, let yokes be broken. Let light shine in the darkness. Lord, let heavy burdens be undone. Lord, come and remove weariness and fatigue and give us a new spring in our step, so we will run, Lord, and we will not be weary, and we will walk, and we will not faint, into your glory, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy. Help me to be concise, to be precise, Lord, not saying unnecessary things, so that, Lord, I will be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old, Lord, honoring you, Lord God, speaking of you and of my fathers, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we go into the word this morning, once again, I thank God and I thank my parents, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah. Let's give them a super hand, amen, for their love and for their prayers, which is the reason why I'm standing before you, amen. I thank God for their example that inspires us ever so much every day. And I'm trusting God that this word will be a word of blessing to them, and bring them joy and refreshing, and also bring you, my beloved brethren, refreshing and transformation and joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to our Bible study this morning, and in our last lesson, we were in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 Thessalonians, we were in chapter 3, we were in verses 5 to 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, please keep playing that. And we saw in our last lesson, the Holy Spirit was teaching us that the Apostle Paul prayed deliberately. Verse 5 says, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And we saw that this is what you call a Pauline prayer. These people were already born again, yet he was praying for them. You know, they were born again on the inside, in that their spirits were born again. So the nature of God was in their spirit. But he was praying for them that the Lord would direct their hearts. Heart there is a composite word for spirit and soul. That God will direct their soul, their will, their mind, their emotions into the love of God. And in that direction, help them to stay patient as they wait for the coming of Christ with the glory. You know, and we saw that is what God is doing in our own lives as well. That first of all, as a Christian, you really won't know your left from your right. You really won't know what is important except you follow spiritual fathers. And those spiritual fathers need to pray certain prayers, like this prayer that we are calling Pauline prayers. Paul prayed them. There's another one. Let's go there quickly. Just read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Where? In the knowledge of him. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power. Another one in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 9. Very quickly, Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Say, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. He's praying for born again Christians to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You need to know what is important. Otherwise, as a Christian, you can major on the minors. That's why he was praying his prayers for them. No, next verse, verse 10. You know, and it goes on to say, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's what we need to be. We need to be pleasing to God. We need to be fruitful in every good work. We need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. That's not a head knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge. So he's talking about deep things here. And that's why he prayed that prayer, so that God will open their eyes. And we said that, you know, there's another one in Philippians chapter 1 where it says that your love will abound more and more in knowledge, in all judgment, in all things, so you will approve the things that are excellent. So it means that you need help. I need help to be able to know what is excellent in God's eyes. One has to open my eyes to see what is excellent. Otherwise, I can call what is excellent in God's eyes foolishness, because they're spiritually discerned. So these prayers give born-again Christians like you and I revelation knowledge of three things. They give us knowledge, they give us understanding, and they give us wisdom concerning the will of God for our lives, which is to perfect the love of God in our lives and give us the strength, that's very important, to be able to walk in that path of love. Because it takes, God is love, it takes God's own nature, God's own light, and God's own power to be like God. That's what it means to walk direct our hearts in love of God, is to be like God, to be patient like God, to be long-suffering like God, to be discerning like God, to be as strong as God, to be as wise. That is not something that you can do or I can do by myself. And that's why these prayers are extremely important. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. This particular prayer that I'm about to read together, you know, it sort of encapsulates everything. It's like the roadmap of what your purpose is. My purpose as a Christian, we all have the same purpose. The purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is the fulfillment of the law. We saw that last week. That the Bible says that Matthew chapter 5 verse 17, that no, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So it's okay. Then it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So we also must fulfill the law. We also must fulfill the prophets. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. God is moving. Amen. All right. So we also must fulfill the law. And we must also fulfill the prophets. Okay. And how do you fulfill the law? By walking in love. So that's why he was praying for them, for love. Let's look at this prayer. That he would grant you according to the riches of the glory of his glory, to be strengthened with might, spiritual might, by his spirit in the inner man. So the Holy Spirit is taking hold together with your spirit. That strength is critical. Next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Hallelujah. He's talking now about the love of God. Now about the word. That the word will be written on our hearts by the power and the light of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. That is love at the will level. So your will is rooted at level, you know, towards doing the will of God. That's what he's talking about, directing our hearts into the love of God. That may be able to comprehend. That's in your mind. So we see the will. Now he's talking about the salvation of the soul in a progressive manner, by the work of the Holy Spirit through the word. Okay, so maybe able to comment with all saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, no, of the body of Christ, and to know in our emotions. The love of Christ, this is what Pastor has taught us, you know, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Brethren, without revelation, you can think that this is too much for me. And a human being should not aspire for this, so that we should be filled with all the fullness of God. That's unbelief. That's unbelief. We call ourselves what God has called us. God told Jeremiah, I have ordained you a prophet to the nation. He said, I cannot speak. I said, don't say that. So we must agree with God. And we agree when the light of God shines in our hearts. And when that light shines, know that the strength comes. Then we can walk and see yourself. And I'm sure you are experiencing it. A progressive transformation in love in our lives. Our wills are more and more inclined to do the will of God. Our minds are more and more receptive to what is the light from the Holy Spirit. Our emotions are more and more controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. You're not as angry as you used to be. Not as irritable as you used to be. Not as impatient as you used to be. Not as selfish as you used to be. There's a little bit more fruit in there. And guess, by the mercy and the grace of God, He's going to take you to that place, the very end of that verse, where He will fill us with the fullness of God. Amen. So that's why those prayers are extremely important. Amen. No, that's why they're very, very important, you know, so that we can know what is the purpose. And the purpose is to fulfill the law. And when we have fulfilled the law, then we are found pleasing before Him. And then He gives us the glory. Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, that we have been ordained, He has ordained us, you know, to the obtaining of the glory. So God, with the day you got born again, you and I have been called to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says that same glory that was on Jesus, walking on water, feeding the 5,000. That's the same glory from day one. But we grow. We grow so that we can be found worthy of that glory resting upon us, so we can use the glory the same way Jesus used it. Amen. All right, that's the will of God for us, okay? And then fulfill all of our prophetic destiny, which we saw last week in detail, to fulfill all the scriptures written upon us in the volume of the book. Then we also shared that... okay, well, this is something, you know, this is something that was peculiar to Paul. Look at Acts 26, verse 18. Holy Spirit was sharing this with me. God told Paul this, that this was his charge when God called him. To open their eyes. Let's read together, brethren. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. That's why he got all those prayers, because that was his call, to take them to that particular place that God had in store for them. And so we also begin to partake of the same when we hear the apostolic and prophetic word that is being taught. The Bible says that, you know, in Acts 20, 32, he says that, Acts 20, verse 32, say, I commend you unto the word of God, to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So it is that, it's the apostolic and prophetic word from spiritual fathers that we hear that builds us up. You know, and it gives us a foundation, and then it begins to build us up, and gives us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So we see that this is a secret that was in the word of God. And God had to use Paul to bring it out into the open. You know, that this is the purpose of God for us in the church. So these father ministries give us a strong spiritual foundation upon which we are able to build our lives unto perfection. You know, the Bible says, I'm a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. He's talking about apostolic and prophetic ministries, who minister the word of the kingdom. And that word of kingdom establishes a foundation in us. You know, so being born again gives us access to see the kingdom. You see it. Okay? But cultivating Christ's character enables us to enter into the kingdom. And we saw that last week. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, I beg your pardon. Verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Yes. We saw that. We've been talking about the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit. Add to virtue, knowledge. Add to knowledge, temperance. Add to temperance, patience. And patience, brotherly kindness, all that. And then, so for if these things be in you and abound, this is the effect. An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not born again. This is entering into your inheritance, entering into kingship in Christ Jesus. So when we are born as servants, we grow to become princes, and we ultimately end up as kings. Bible says he has made of kings and priests unto our God. Okay, so we see, so that's why these prayers are important. And you know, brethren, they're all blended into the prayers that we've been given. It's important to pray these prayers at least once a week so that we can see, you know, into the Word of God. You know, you can see, have revelation, you know, from the Holy Spirit to you about, you know, what your place is and what your purpose is, so that you can live the life that God ordained us to live. And we don't go and live, you know, another life or live lower because of a lack of knowledge. No, it's revelation knowledge. Amen. All right. And then we also saw from verse 6 to verse 11, the apostle commanding us to withdraw from brethren who walk disorderly. People that walk disorderly. That is, they don't follow the example nor the instructions that they have been given, even though they've been corrected several times. You know, and that's very important. Or they do it their own way, and they're still members of the church. You know, and we saw that last week, that that the example of the fathers, Apostle Paul was saying, you know, that you know my doctrine, you know my manner of life, you know my purpose, you've seen the way I've lived before you. Copy me, imitate me, follow me as I follow Christ. And we saw that's very important. So we must not ignore the discipline. We must not ignore the sacrifice. We must not ignore the purity and the excellence, the righteousness and obedience that is displayed through our spiritual leaders. It's very important. You know, don't put them in a class all by themselves and then say, that's for them. We on this ground floor, this is what we can, this is what I can handle. No, God wants to stretch us to the next level. Amen. Bible says, come up hither. That's the will of God for us. We're not staying where we are. We're moving up. Amen. Elisha did not stay where he was. When Elijah told him, look, stay here in Gilgal. He said, I'm not doing that too. I'm paraphrasing. I'm following you anywhere you go. From Gilgal to Bethel. From Bethel to Jericho. From Jericho to Jordan. And guess what? He didn't come back empty handed. When you follow spiritual fathers, you don't come back empty-handed. You are not the same. You come back with double glory. And there were people that knew that he was being taken away, but they didn't follow. And we saw that last week. Don't follow afar off. You follow with your mouth. You follow with attendance in church. But your heart is far from what you are following. And only you will know. You know, and that's why it's important for us to look inward and allow God to work on our hearts so that we can correct these things. You know, in particular, in this church, in Thessalonica, you know, the brethren, you know, were walking disorderly, you know, and they were not obeying the instructions. Told them, withdraw from them. And he said that there were some of them that were actually busybodies. So they were gossiping, you know. You know, they were going around gossiping about others and just generally indulging in the flesh. There were some other ones that they had been helped by the brethren financially. And so I said, this is free money. See, brethren just blessing me. Okay, that means I shouldn't walk again now. There's no point walking because, brethren, I'm looking for a certain kind of job. This one is too low for me. I want a certain kind. Somebody of my caliber. Somebody of my standing. Well, I cannot be doing this kind of work. The Bible says that he that does not walk, let him not eat. That's severe. But it tells you that God views it very seriously because of what lies underneath. What lies underneath is a spirit, you know, that begins to spread offense. A spirit that, you know, you tell this one, you know, so what's going on? What's going on in their life? I saw them. Oh, this happened to them. And so what's going on? Then you tell somebody else. You know, and before you know it, you start spreading things that are not true. Busybodies. You can't paddle your own canoe. And you can't mind your own business. We're talking to ourselves today, brethren, in church, because the church of God has busybodies. Amen. Mind your own business. There's some things that you should not even say that you know about people. There's no need to share it as a testimony. There's no need to share it as a prayer point. We don't need that kind of help. The body needs to edify itself. We don't need people that are poking and provoking onto anger and onto unforgiveness. We want you provoking onto love and unto good works. So there's something. If something is not edifying, shut your mouth. Let it stop with you. No matter where it was coming from, when it gets to you, let it stop. And say only what is positive. And if there's nothing positive to say, pray. That's the way to do it, brethren. Because, you know, brethren are growing. So sometimes you see younger brethren, when they come in, they may do those things because they're still growing. But when they see the attitude and the posture of the older brethren, immediately, the Bible says how does it say it in the book of Proverbs? It says that an angry look, you know, drives away a backbiting tongue. You know, when you can, if you find that scripture, you can give it to me. You know, I know if somebody just says something, the look on your face alone tells them that information is not appreciated, it is unsolicited, and should never be shared again. There's no need there. Is it true? No, that's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that. We saw that. Okay. And why did he say withdraw? He said withdraw because when you withdraw, one, you protect yourself. Because evil communication corrupts good manners. And the words that you hear, they go into your heart. You don't know, you don't feel it, but it's there. And before you know it, it begins to bring forth, germinate. And then you wonder, where did this come from? Well, from something that you heard. You know, sometimes I deal with the children in school, you know, and, you know, sometimes I remember a particular story. On a particular day, the Bible study for that day was that we should not spread information that is not true, or, you know, or spreading gossip. And the Bible study, we have a Bible study in the morning on assembly. That was the Bible study. And then somebody came and told somebody something. And told that person that, don't say I was the one that told you. And that person went with their, I won't say big mouth, small mouth. I went and told the person, you know, that they said they should not tell. I said, I heard this about you. And the whole thing was on Saturday. And I said, and so when they brought them to me, I said, but the Bible study this morning, was to tell you to avoid this. See how you've allowed the scripture to be fulfilled in the negative. They were sober. Initially, they were against each other, but they were sober. I said, no, you've not gained anything. The only person that's gained something is the devil. So let's repent. And they gladly repented and prayed for them. And that was the end of it. Amen. You know, so it's very important that we heed these things. So when we do that, we keep ourselves from being corrupted. Because when you hear things you shouldn't hear, you know now to deal with it spiritually, you know, you get corrupted. And then also, you shame such people. When you withdraw from them, they recognize that people are withdrawing from them. And they now begin to look inward and repent and change. So either they repent and change or they leave the church. Because they're not adding, they are taking away. But if they repent, then God can help them and they can change. But if they're not, then it really depends on them. But at least you love them from afar. So you love them by praying for them. You ask life for them. You forgive their sins. But you don't fellowship with them. You know, that in itself brings them, you know, to their senses spiritually, to understand that what they're doing is not right. So sexual immorality, irreverent behavior, laziness, indecency, no arrogance. Well, those are some of the examples we gave last week. We're not going over them. That's what we saw last week. So we're going to begin from verse 11 today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 11. Let's read together. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Next verse. Now them that are such, we command, we're not begging them, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Means that they have been looking to eat other people's bread. Next verse. That's the implication. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. This is what happens when this kind of thing is flying around the church. It brings weariness. Because the church is supposed to be a place where you find peace. So the place where people are behaving like Christ. And instead of that, they are stabbing you in the back. That's not going to give peace. That brings weariness. Amen. But that's not our portion in Jesus' name. All right? And it says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So he can be ashamed and realize that everybody is staring. Do I have the plague? Yes, spiritually. And you need to get vaccinated, you know, and use the fire of the Holy Spirit to do steam inhalation of your soul, so that you will remove the virus that is there and you will not be spreading what should not be spreading in the church. That's why. Okay. If any man obey not our word by his epistle, know that man and have no company with that, he may be ashamed. Next verse. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Next verse. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Next verse. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And everybody said, amen. All right, amen. All right. So we already looked at verse 11. You know, the thing here that I want to bring out is this, brethren, that, you know, when these things, the busybodying and spreading rumors and doing things that are inconvenient or indulging the flesh, you know, like, you know, regularly, you know, using your phone during prayers, you know, and all things like that. There are spirits in the air that are releasing spiritual power. And that spiritual power is working on the sin nature in the mind, in the soul, and in the body, causing those things to happen. So the reason why they are like that is because they're not fulfilling spiritual law. That's the root of it. Or let me put it this way, they're not doing it enough. Enough. You see, the Bible says that them that are Christ have crucified what? The flesh with his affections and lusts. I think that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians 5, 24. Them that are Christ. So as a Christian, you know, daily we wake up and we deny ourselves. We take up our cross, which is a type of praying in the Spirit to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Reading your Bible to receive the wisdom of God. And with the combination of both, crucify the flesh, so that you live according to the dictates of the Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit and not to the flesh. But if you don't do that in secret, in the open, you will give in to the flesh, which is what walking disorderly is all about. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man be called a brother, be a what? Be a what? Fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer. They know how to abuse. No, there are Christians that pride themselves. If you try me, I will reduce you to your size. They give you a piece of their unholy mind. Or a drunkard. Or an extortioner. Something is 5,000. And you call it 8. And you pocket the remaining 3. It's extortion. You are extorting from others. With such a one, no, not to eat. Okay? So it's very important that we get that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians 5, 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. Let's see that. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another as also ye do. So it's important that we edify each other. That means that, no, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 16. Let's look at, because we're a body. And that's what God is teaching us. 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Stop. So, as each part is working effectually, how do we know the effect? It goes to the joint. And when it goes to the joint, it brings about, in what it says in the last verse, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So if we are not edifying and increasing in love, there is something wrong with how effectual the part is working. And that's what God is asking us to look inward and correct. Make sure that your own part is working effectually in love. So you are contributing life. You are contributing love to the body. Amen. Contributing forgiveness. You are contributing asking life for others. You are contributing praying for others. Rather than spreading around what the negative things that they did because, you know, they were overcome in sin. That's very important. Okay, so we see that. Romans 14, 19. Let's look at that. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore, I can't hear you, brother. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Very important. We've been talking about peace today. Of peace and things wherewith one may edify another. The key, brethren, is let's maintain peace. Peace. There should be peace. If you feel that somebody is not happy with something you said or did, go back to them and make the peace. Whether you are right or whether you're wrong, make the peace. We need peace. That peace is very important. And then things wherewith we may edify one another. Okay? So it's very important. And, you know, it's very important that he says this here, you know, because if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 17, Ephesians 5. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's talking to Christians. Can a Christian be asleep? Yes. What does it mean to be asleep? It means you're not practicing instruction of apostolic fathers that will cause the love of God to be perfected in you or to keep growing in you. That is sleeping. Doesn't mean you are inactive. It just means that you are not alert or aware about what is priority at that time. You know, when somebody is asleep, you know, or drowsy, very drowsy. There are things that he will miss because he's drowsy. He's overcome by it. So he's saying that we should awake, turn to instruction, and arise from the dead. And the more you practice the instruction, the more Christ will give us light. Next verse. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Next verse. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, brethren, it's important. In a situation, your common sense can tell you this is the right thing to do. But you need to pray and acknowledge the Holy Spirit, because that may not be what God wants you to do or say. Something happens and you want to talk. God says, keep quiet and pray. Because if we don't pray, for example, they called Jesus and said Lazarus, I mean, that's a big test. And we're all going to be tested, brethren. That's a big test. Lazarus, your friend, is sick. And instead of responding to emotions, the Lord Jesus Christ responded to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, stay back and pray. But then you need to trust God with all of our hearts. Eh? And so what will happen? What would they think of me? That's a big one. They would think I don't have love. My reputation. Those are the things we need to crucify. And he stayed back 2 extra days and then got there and he had died 4 days. But he raised him up. Amen. You can't go wrong following God. You can't, if God says do this in a situation, you cannot make a mistake. So it's important to do what the Bible says. Understand what the will of the Lord is. But where does it start from? It starts from walking as wise and not as fools. Redeeming the time. So, you know, when you talk about redeeming the time, we must tithe our time. You know, time is, we have 24 hours in a day. So you tithe the time. Now it's 2.4 or 2.5 hours every day. That is your tithe to God. You must give God that time, not necessarily at once, but over the course of the day. Now we grow into it. So sometimes you start with 15 minutes every day. But it is your own initiative to increase your commitment. God's not necessarily going to come to you. He's as you come to church, you know, as you hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit will be talking to us in our hearts and tell you, you need to move from 15 minutes to 45. You need to move from 45 now to 1 hour. Now it's time to move to 1.5 hours. Until you hit that 2.5. And that is just your tithe. Then there's offering. Brethren, everybody kept quiet. Brethren, these are, see, these, we are spiritual beings. And if we don't do this, we will be carnal. If you sow to the Spirit, what do you reap? Eternal life. Galatians chapter 6. So as we sow, so each person must examine yourself. Where am I? There's some people that are sitting next to you. They pray 5-6 hours every day. And they go to work just like you. So we're not talking pie in the sky. We're talking growth. But each person, in all sincerity in your heart, check, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, when you just get born again, 15 minutes. But by the time you're spending 6 months, you begin to move up. Join Good Morning Jesus. That's 1 hour right there. 1 hour right there. You begin to do confessions. Amazing. You know, your Pauline prayers we're talking about. You make those Pauline confessions. Your general confessions. Once a week, you make those ones. The commandment confessions, 4 times a day. You make those ones. You look at the time, because it's proportion. It's the proportion that you are giving that God is looking at. It's not so much as, I went for all night. Yes, that's good. I should go for all night. You know, yes, as often as you can. But also each day, how much personal time do you give to the Lord? Because that's what he's talking about. Because when you give that time to the Lord, see, there's a time for God. you must give to God. Then there is a time for your work. Then there is a time for your family. And then there's a time for rest. You have those four God's number for balance. So you give time for all those things, you know, and as you give to God first, then God creates time and gives you wisdom about how to redeem the time so that you can do all the other things by spiritual power and wisdom. But if you say there's no time, so because there's no time, you don't pray. Like during exam now. I'm just giving an example. I know brethren that don't pray. Mercy, oh. Mercy. They say that we have exam. God understands. No, brethren. You know, for a young Christian that just got born again, we can understand. But as we grow, we are the same, no matter what is going on around us. So when you have exam, yes, I pray. I may not pray as much as I normally do, but it will not be that I don't pray at all. I pray. I do confessions. I make sure that I release spiritual power. And because I'm doing my best and I'm sincere, I come under covering. And the covering of the Father's house will carry me up and lift you up. And even when the devil comes against you, you overcome it. Amen? That is the will of God. So it's very important. And when brethren are busybodies, it means that they have too much time on their hands. It's too much time on your hands. You're not using it for what you should be using it for. So check. What am I supposed to be using it for? You have enough time to gist for 1 hour on the phone? Forget about whether it's WhatsApp. You're not paying for it. What are you talking about? 1 whole hour. And you do that frequently. That's something there. That's a loophole there. And then there's no time to finish your Bible reading. And there's no time to check up on members of your family. No, 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 no. The Bible says, how does it say it? You know, pure religion. James chapter 1 verse 27. Let's look at it. Pure religion is this, and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To what? Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We do what it takes to keep the sin nature out and the power of the devil out in our lives. That's, and when we do that, we don't indulge ourselves. We don't misbehave the way the apostle is talking about here. Okay? So it's important. You know, when pray enough. I can't hear you say pray enough. I didn't hear you. Say pray enough. Read your Bible enough. Walk in love enough. And there's enough time to do everything else. There's enough time. Because when you sow to God, you reap. You reap time. God gives us wisdom. All right, so we'll move on to the next verse. That's verse 12 and 13. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now, when he says quietness there, he's really talking about meekness and a quietness of spirit. Look at the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Where is that? The ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's very important because you need to understand that's what it's talking about. Quietness there. You know that quietness is a quietness of a heart that is at rest. Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Now, that rest is a state where the power and the nature of God is dominating our soul and our body. So the sin nature is under control. It's either being dominated or it's being flushed out. But it's quiet. So in that state of rest, God's will prevails. God's counsel prevails. God's desires run through. That's what rest is. So God is saying, get back into prayer. Command them
and exhort. Exhort means I'm reminding you something I already told you before. You know, go back to what I already told you before and obey my instructions, you know, and so that when you obey the instructions, you will generate the spiritual power that will bring quietness and give you wisdom. And then begin to arrange your circumstances so you will get a job. Because these things are spiritual. You will get a job. It may not be the exact job that you had in mind, but do something. That's what the Bible says. Look at Titus chapter 3 in verse 14. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Can you imagine? So your work that you are doing is an avenue for you and I to be fruitful. It's an avenue for your fruitfulness to show. You can't be fruitful all by yourself. Nobody is disturbing you. You know, you're just by yourself. Of course, you will be very meek. You will be very calm. Because you are alone. Or your brother are more spiritual than you. But when God sends you some paper brethren, some paper colleagues, some paper classmates or course mates that will do something and they won't tell you. You know, they was the one who was supposed to give it to everybody. They did not give it to you. You know, or they say something that was not true. God wants to now see what's going to come out. That's why you can't go to work without praying. You're so busy. You want to get to work. You know, you wake up early. Not that you get to work later and say, I was praying. Like Pastor says, if you do that, he himself will recommend that you are sacked. No, we don't do that, brethren. We get to work early and then pray at work. And go to bed early. So that way, you begin to set a standard of punctuality, and your life begins to minister fruit that others can eat. So how do you do it, bro? You come all the way from toll gate and you are here before everybody. How do you do it? I wake up early. I have to, and I have to find time to do this. So we learn from one. That's what the Bible calls provoking one another unto love and unto good works. No, you sharpen me. So what I thought was impossible or was difficult to do, when I see the way you are doing your own, it pricks my conscience and makes me want to do better. That's the idea. We sharpen. The Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron." So we sharpen one another. So we are all punctual, and then we have a name. Those guys, those Christians, nothing against them. They are the first there. They are the last to leave. And when they are doing the work, they do it with all of their hearts. You know, they give you feedback when they have a problem. You know, we should have a good name. That's what the Bible is talking about. We adorn the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with fruit. So it's not just saying, it's actually living. We live it out so that people can see. Okay, so let's go back to the 13 and 14. We were there, as we begin to round up now. Say, but ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Brethren, what brings weariness in well doing? Sometimes, we spoke about the fact that sometimes when brethren do things they ought not do, it discourages us. That is true. You thought people would ask for you. You were ill and you were away from work and nobody asked after you. You know, and you are all brethren. You can feel weary. So if anything happened to me, that's how they will just leave me. And nobody will even think about, brethren. You are right. It is true. But it's very important that you are careful in that situation. So you don't let the devil set a trap. Because this brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Because there's a tendency, the way they've done for me, that's the way I'm going to do for them. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we should love them that hate us. Pray for them that despitefully use us. So that love, we can be weary in love. many times because of what other people do to us. And sometimes the fact that you've been doing things for so long and you're not getting the appropriate response from the direction of the people that you have been doing it to. God is saying two things today. Take your eyes off the people. Hello? We need to take our eyes off the people. You are not doing it for them to see and appreciate and respond. You are doing it for God to be pleased with you. Hallelujah. We take our eyes off and put our eyes on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when you see all He has done for you and how much you have responded, then you can look up and say, I haven't even gotten anywhere. Let me just keep doing it. But if you are looking to brethren, it discourages you. Because people are at different stages of growth. Amen. And so that's very important. So and then the Bible says in Romans 15:13. Let's look at that. So round up. Romans 15:13. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Need to round up now. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace. In what? Believing. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Ghost. What is he saying here? It's an opportunity, brethren. Let us tell ourselves, love is the goal. Tell your neighbor, love is the goal. See, the key is this. Did you walk in love? If you walked in love, keep doing it. That is the hope. Because with each time you walk in love and you exercise the love of God, I exercise the love of God, we are becoming more like Him and we are getting closer to our destiny. So even though it's a negative situation, if you put on Jesus' eyeglasses and see it through His eyes, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, you rejoice. Hallelujah. Because you are partaking of what He partook of. The Bible says He came to His own and His own knew Him not. What's new? Well, that's the truth, brethren. We need to call ourselves to order. What's new? You'll not be the first. You'll not be the last. So, what's new? And then He says there, go back to that verse. No, that Romans 15. It's very important there that you can see that it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to pray. That's why you must be tithing your time. And you must be giving enough of your time. Otherwise, that's the first place is good to show. Is your relationship. If you're having problems with your relationships with people at work, people in your family, go back to your prayer life. How much prayer are you doing for them? Do you pray about your work? Or just go to work? It's not my business. So who said? God puts you there for a purpose. Amen. We're there for a purpose. And Joseph was in Potiphar's house. And Bible says that Potiphar knew that he was being blessed because of Joseph. And he gave more and more to him until he gave everything in his house except his wife. Don't tell me. And that's Old Testament. No Bible, no temple, no oversight. No, brethren. The Bible says that we may abound in hope. What does that mean? It means that your hope gets clearer and clearer. You keep seeing yourself changing, and that is bringing you joy and peace. These are fruits of the Spirit. They are spiritual forces, joy, peace, and they keep you focused on what God is doing and not on what men are saying and what men are doing. And that way you will not be weary. And there is no situation that God cannot turn around as a roundup. David was in a situation where they went to Ziklag, and they came back, and the Amalekites had come and taken all their children away. Taking every single one of them away. And everybody, look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verse 6. Everybody had beef with him, as if they didn't all agree to go together. Everybody had beef with him. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. That's not the time to weep and feel sorry for yourself. It's the time to pray. That's what he did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. The first thing was to pray and generate the spiritual power that will push that cloud of darkness away. And then you can hear what God is saying and encourage yourself in what God is saying. And right in that situation, he turned it around. Look at the next verse. Next verse. And David said to Abiathar, and he said, bring me hither the effort. And they brought hither the effort to David. Next verse. And David inquired, Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake and without fail recover all. Brethren, there are things you and I have to recover. Recover the souls of people. Recover our relationships. No, expecting. Forget about expecting. Start giving. That's what David did. He took, take the focus off yourself and put the focus on God and others. It sets you free from this, you know, feeling unappreciated, you know, feeling, you know, gets you out of that rut. And you are ready for what God has for you. See what David did. No, and the next thing, they moved, verse 9. And David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Next verse. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over brook Besor. They were weary. They were weary. They couldn't forget the pain. So that brook, the name of Besor, is glad news. They couldn't cross it because the news inside them was not glad. So except that brook, glad news, separated the people that had glad news from the people that did not have it. But the words inside you is the revelation of what God is doing in your life. Is He making you glad? Are you seeing it? You know, even when the fig tree is not blossoming, are you seeing what God is doing? Are you rejoicing in the Lord your God? So yes, will I rejoice in the Lord? I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because if He's doing the one on the inside, the one on the outside is not a problem. That's it. Because the internal one is more difficult. To change your will, to change your mind, to change your emotion, it takes more power. Bible says that it is easier to take a city than to control your emotions. It is. So, and look at, when David came and met an Egyptian, he put the focus on others. He met an Egyptian. He could have walked by. It wasn't even him that met the Egyptian. It was his boys that met the Egyptian. But because they had been so well trained, and the same force inside David was in them. The same power inside David was them. That's unity. The same power, the same love, the same force, the same mind, the same speaking the same thing. And then praying together. They were an unconquerable army. So when they saw, let's do what would Oga ask us to do. Let's do what Oga would ask us to do. So they brought him and said, we found this Egyptian. I said, he was half dead. And they gave him bread, word of God. Yes, they gave him water, life of God. They confessed his sins, asked life for him. Then they gave him the word of God. No, got him born again. All right, and gave him life. Then they gave him figs. A cluster of figs. That's fruit of the Spirit. That's the power. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can bring fruit. And they gave him two raisins. Mercy and grace. And they revived him. It was that person that they thought was an aside. Was the person that took them to give them the victory. Who has God positioned in your way that looks as if they are an aside? It's like helping them is a diversion. It's diverting you from where you are going. Better be careful. Slow down. We are a body. And where you sow is not necessarily where you reap. That's what God is saying to us today. So when you sow, sow in faith. Sow in love. And look to God. And God will raise help. You know the length of the story. They pursued. They overtook. And they spoiled them, and only 400 men escaped. That's what God is saying to us, brethren. Okay? Let's bow our heads as we pray. It's not a time to sleep spiritually.
And when we sleep, there are telltale signs that you can see in your relationships with people. You can see irritation, anger, unforgiveness repeatedly. Once you see it once, you see it twice, you need to go into a corner and pray. You need to take out time and pray regularly about your work, 1 hour every week. So you control things in the realm of the spirit. You take the initiative. Like Pastor Jesus, the initiative is not with ungodliness. The initiative is with godliness. Every area of your life must be prayed up. Family, pray. Work, pray. Activity in church, pray. Have to pray. Read your Bible. Listen to anointed apostolic and prophetic word. Obey and practice the instruction to walk in love. And then see God begin to use your life as a written epistle to proclaim the reality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not give sleep to my eyes
until I find
out a place for the Lord,
a habitation
for the mighty God of Jacob. Until I see him face to face,
I will not give sleep.
Oh, I will not give sleep.
Sing it as a prayer and make up your mind.
Until I find out a place,
until I find out a place for the Lord. A habitation for the mighty God of Jacob.
Until I see him
face to face.
Arise, O Lord,
into your resting
place.
Righteousness and thy saints shall for joy.
Let's raise up our right hand to God. God is talking to us this morning. Arise. Arise. And make a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Pray and say, Father, I confess my sins. And so I clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, I thank you for your word that you've sent to me today to show me that it is your desire that I prepare myself, my will, my mind, my emotions, and my body as a habitation for you, the mighty God of Jacob. So you will dwell in me. You will speak through me. You will live through me. You will act through me. Father, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord, to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly, hear you more distinctly, obey you more promptly and completely. I forsake sins of omission that have hindered me. I refuse to allow omissions in my life. I take the initiative by keeping the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and walking in the love of God. So I show love to those around me. I keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I edify all of my brethren and I provoke others unto love and unto good works. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. baso bambe keso bashekato rekababo bike devo son father mercy kotando lengeri ve pa tomba kosato j'aime pas qu'il a bote ropo popo popo pakere jan o sette de meke le bebea bala lobante rebeke lejan rebekoto manko peke de beberian ropa bam bam bangle engolo baso topa choka stopi chokotea rebe bababa boko jeke de bebedo ma popa yena kuteka ruka de bedo meke le bebedia meke le bebele megalona rebeda bele rebe grabo bele lebediana bonge de bebedia.
The word of God has gone forth. Let's now tap into it by faith. Every spirit of condemnation, bind it. Break that yoke of condemnation. Set yourself free. Receive your healing. It's in the air, under the covering of our fathers. The Bible says the word of God was preached and there was power present to heal. Tap into that power and receive by faith. Father, we thank you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Father, we send forth liberty, Lord, from oppression, from lack, from infirmity and sickness in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your power that sets us free and keeps us free. In Jesus' name, amen.